Today is the one-week anniversary of the major fire outbreak fueled by a rare late-summer downslope wind event. The names have become familiar. Alameda Drive, South Obenchain, Slater, Archie Creek, Holiday Farm, 242, and on and on and on. This time we talk less about acres and containment than about homes destroyed and evacuations. We'll be living with the effects of these fires for years, since hundreds of families, possibly thousands across the region, lost their homes. Let's continue the conversation about the fires, the causes, the responses, and the rebuilding. 800-838-3760. If you have something to contribute or something to ask, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. And I want to bring in first some emails that we had received. Some of them came in late in the show yesterday, so I want to make sure we get to them early today. Denise in Happy Camp had emailed and said, "Hi, I lost my house in Happy Camp, and the count is around 150 homes lost." That squares with what we'd heard earlier. Denise continues, "Folks on the street of Pine Place had less than 25 minutes to evacuate. It came from the ridge above and had to be downed power poles. The winds, as you know, were gusting wildly. No effort was made to save the homes. There was barely time to evacuate the neighborhood. So far, I understand Happy Campers cannot even file with FEMA because it has not been formally designated a disaster. There is much less help for folks in that region so far, and no idea where they will overwinter." That from Denise in Happy Camp. And we did just hear about, you did hear in the news segment about Oregon at least having a disaster declaration or a request for a disaster declaration from the federal government. So this takes it beyond state of emergency to being declared a disaster area, and that frees up further FEMA help. So we'll see if that's going to happen with California sometime soon as well. Denise, thank you for your email. We had another email from Sue in Klamath River, who says, "I wonder if you can explore the idea of rebuilding Talent and other areas with adobe homes that will be cool and not so flammable." That from Sue in Klamath River, California. So thanks so much for that input, Sue. What do you have in mind? What's going on with the fires that you want to know about, that you want to talk about, or that you want to get some help with? Because we have just an explosion, if you'll pardon the expression, of efforts to help people who need help in the wake of the fires around the region. And we'll get to talk about those over the course of the 2 hours of the program today. Again, you're welcome to join us and tell us about these. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the issues, of course, that arises when you have not only the fires, but we have an election approaching, and a big one that a lot of people are concerned about, is that you have a bunch of people burned out of their homes in an election where the ballots arrive through the mail. So now what? Let's talk about the now what with Chris Walker, the Jackson County clerk, about voter registration and voter procedure for people who have been burned out of their homes. Chris, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Always a pleasure.
You live in, or did live in, Talent yourself. Are you generally whole? Are your family's holdings whole?
Yeah, we. My parents sold our childhood home and business a couple years ago, but the actual structure for the business is still standing. But the home burnt. It was scheduled to be torn down anyway, and kind of an odd coincidence. Last Saturday, we went in to get one last look at it before they tore it down by the current owner, who had just built these beautiful new townhomes. And of course, it was a total loss for him as well, these new properties that he just put up. So I have really heartfelt sorrow for him, that a businessman looking to continue that, and he lost everything in that, his investment too. So our losses were definitely there. It's emotional, but what I feel for is just my heartfelt sympathies and sorrow for all of the people that are struggling, that have lost their homes, their entire livelihoods. It's just heart-wrenching. The feeling of loss is overwhelming right now for our whole community.
Yeah, indeed. Talent is quite the hollow shell in the immediate downtown area, but you know, some things still standing and enough to get started toward a rebuilding process with. Thanks for letting me take that detour with you about personal stuff. But so let's get on to, what does the law say about voter registration for a person who's lost the dwelling at the address where they're registered?
Well, the good part is that according to Oregon law, voters need to know that they will continue to use their current residential address. So meaning before they were displaced, this, for all intents and purposes, this is their residential address and continues to be so for voting purposes. So what we're asking voters to do is the fastest, simplest, given the pandemic, given the wildfires, the overwhelming nature of everything in our community right now, is for voters who have lost those items or are displaced by the fire, is to go to the OregonVotes.gov and click My Vote. It's a green panel tile right there on that homepage, so OregonVotes.gov, and they can easily add their mailing address to this. What we want them to do is leave the current residential address as it is right now prior to being displaced. What we need from them is an address to send their ballot to. Whether I know we spoke to people who were out at the expo in Jackson County Fairgrounds. They are letting people know out there that they can re-register, and we provided a lot of registration cards just yesterday out there, both English and Spanish cards, that people can update their mailing address, and even from what I've heard, use the Jackson County PO box, but they'll have to talk to the people out there at the expo about that. Mm-hmm. But wherever you are staying currently, whether it be in Jackson County with other family or friends, you can use that for us to mail your ballot to that address. But what we need you to do, again, leave the residential address as it was prior to being displaced. For all intents and purposes, that is still your address, still your residence. You're just being considered as a temporary away from that address.
All right. So if you live in Precinct 24, but you're now currently staying in, Precinct 115, the fact is you'll still get a ballot for your old precinct.
Exactly, because that is considered your home. That is your residence. This is just a temporary way. It's a mailing address so that we can get you your ballot safely and securely in our bulk mailing. Now, the other ways you can do it, if you're not comfortable with My Vote or can't figure out how to navigate through that, it is the simplest way to do it. But for whatever reason, you may have difficulties with that. You can get a copy of a voter registration card at the Postal Service offices, the DMV, libraries, city halls, of course, at the county clerk's office. If you get a hold of us, we can also email or we can mail you a paper registration card as well. So we don't want people to have barriers to being able to update those mailing addresses. The other issue, if you're uncomfortable with any of that, we remain open. We have never been closed, even throughout the pandemic. So our office at 1101 West Main Street, Suite 201, remains open 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. Come in person, update your mailing address, and we can get you that ballot out to you. Now, if the election comes closer, there are going to be people that just, for whatever reason, because of the sense of loss, dealing with their losses, with all the overwhelming things going on right now, you can even come in as long as you're a current, active, or inactively registered voter. We can still get you a ballot till 8 o'clock election night. But what I suggest is getting this taken care of early so that we're going to be inundated with people in the same situation. And we want to be here to make sure your right to vote is upheld and that you have access to a ballot.
All right. So even if you have to go into the clerk's office and vote like an absentee, that is possible, you're saying, until the ballot, the voting closes on election night itself.
Right. We would just consider that a replacement or a reissued ballot, which, of course, for the sake of the conversation, we've already prepared a ballot that's going to go out to you in the mail. But say you come in and you don't receive that. We'll do a replacement or a reissued ballot that automatically inactivates the original ballot that was created for you. So I want people to, very important for them to know that they're not just ballots floating around that are in an active status that say somebody, a player who, bad actor that wanted to think, well, I'm going to kind of juke the system and vote multiple times. Once that we scan that barcode, it'll show that original ballot is inactivated if you come into our office and get a replacement ballot. We ask that people who are still considered residents, and say there, I had a gentleman call last week, him and his wife are staying with relatives in Spokane, but plan to return. Those would be what we consider the out of the area, the absentee voters, same as, say, a student who's in Portland, but their home is here in Jackson County. Those would be what we consider the absentee ballots. And we just ask that they give us a call and we can assist them depending on their unique situation. We can give them a remedy to be able to access that ballot.
Okay, but that's an important one that you just mentioned, though, that once somebody scans in Denise Brown or whatever your name is, boof, that's it. That person is not going to have another ballot available to them that will count.
Exactly. Those are inactivated in the system, and very important to remember, because we get people all the time, and I read some social media posts and things that come up in letters to the editor. Well, gosh, I received a couple ballots or two ballots. Well, you have to remember that when we extract data to do the insertion, we're scheduled out weeks prior to mailing. So we have people that update their addresses through registration deadline, which is several weeks later. When you do an update at that point, even if you don't have many changes, let's just say it's a party affiliation change, it's going to kick out another ballot. But rest assured, the way the system works is it inactivates anything that's already been created in the system. So even if both those ballots get sent in, the one is going to be kicked out as inactive, and the other ballot will be counted during the election.
Okay, we noticed that during the primary, because my wife had changed her registration fairly close to the deadline,
yep,
and therefore got ballots for two parties, and we, ha, we should send them both in, but we tore one up, obviously, and threw it away. If we had sent them both in, the one that was no longer valid for the party she was registered to would have been discounted, right?
Right, it would be inactivated, mm-hmm, in our sorter. Once it reads that barcode, actually automatically sends it to the inactive ballot bin that it gets sorted to. Yeah. So great part about the system, the centralized voter registration.
Okay. Yeah. Chris Walker is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Jackson County Clerk. We're talking about registration in fire time and how people take care of things. Go to, let's get this again, Oregon, let's see.
V-O-T-E-S, Oregon Votes.
Okay, yeah. I navigated too far into it and lost my way here. Okay, so OregonVotes.gov, yes.
Then click My Vote.
Okay, and then go to My Vote. Yes, that's the way you get in there. So, Chris, have you had chats with the Postal Service about any lingering difficulties in getting ballots delivered? I mean, there are some places where a lot of homes were destroyed. Some are still left. Any discussions as yet about the difficulty or not of making sure that the ballots do get delivered to the places where people still have homes?
Absolutely. In fact, just yesterday afternoon, we communicated, and of course, the clerks and the Secretary of State was involved in this call, and we all asked that they please keep us regularly updated. If there's changes on a daily basis, to let us know, let the state know, and the Secretary of State's office will let us know. They have right now an active plan about where the fires are at, and believe me, they're all over the state in this interactive list that I have, and of course we're getting updates about Talent in Phoenix. Of course, their mail is being held out at the carrier annex, mm-hmm, off Ehrman Way, over off Sage Road at the postal processing facility right here in Jackson County. We're very fortunate we have that as well. That's our region's postal processing facility. So every time we mail ballots, it comes right out of the Jackson County postal processing facility, which is a great advantage to the people in our area, because they're not sorted out of Portland or Eugene. They're done right here in Jackson County. We have the commitment by the Postal Service that they are here to assist. And as we get changes, we can deal with some of those changes that happen. Because right now, again, Phoenix Talent, all their mails being held at the carrier annex. But as we get updates on that, by the time we mail out ballots on the 16th of October, that may have changed to where the people who currently still have boxes and still have PO boxes and mail boxes available in those areas can get mail delivery. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure that that happens. So, again, we've asked that they keep us updated where we're at, because it could change daily on those things, just like Shady Cove, Prospect, Butte Falls area. Mm-hmm. The mail is being diverted right now to the Eagle Point Postal Office because they're at that level 3 evacuation. So as the levels change, so does the level, the service, and where those the mail is going to go. So again, we are on top of this. We are communicating regularly with them and have been very responsive, not only to the concerns that came up, you know, weeks, months ago about the delivery service level, but especially now during these wildfires all over the state.
All right. So it sounds like, there's no limit to the number of times. If a person is in one place now and then moving to a second, maybe even a third place, without it being the place they're actually registered to vote, they can still get those forms filled out to make sure that the ballot gets to them where they are?
Correct. And I put out a little document that would explain some of this yesterday, but we're working to get a social media, some public service announcements, and press releases out to you all through our county contracted marketing company. So watch for that soon. But, absolutely. If a voter moves after updating a mailing address, say right now they're in a temporary spot and they decide, well, you know what, I'm going to be able to get in a more, not permanent, but semi-permanent place, at least to get me through the end of the year, or another family member, they can update that mailing address once again and as often as they need to during the process. Keep in mind, though, once it comes to Thursday, October 30th, that's the last day we can mail out a ballot according to statute to them. Mm-hmm. So if it comes too close to the election, what we're going to do is ask them to come into our office, and then, again, we can issue a replacement ballot to them to make sure that they can exercise and access that ballot easily. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort by our voters to make sure that this happens, and we ask that they be proactive and really help us in this, because we're here for you. We want to make sure you get to have access to that ballot.
Now, for the emergency changes, now the voter registration deadline looks like it's October 13th. Does that hold up for those as well?
Absolutely. That's for people who are not registered in the state of Oregon or anywhere. So mm-hmm. if you are currently unregistered or just moved here, that is your deadline. Keep in mind, if you are currently registered anywhere in the state of Oregon in an active or inactive status, say you moved and you went to an inactive status because we got notification of a move out of the area, you could be inactive, but you are still an eligible, qualified voter. We just need you to respond and to check in at that OregonVotes.gov MyVote to see what your status is and get that updated. So you have till 8 o'clock election night to make those type of changes and still get a ballot. Again, we encourage people to not wait till election day to do this. It's of the essence to get these updates done early and timely. Get your ballot voted the minute that you get it or that week that you get it. Mail it back in to the Postal Service. They are committed to making sure these ballots get back to us absolutely every time that we have an election. It's pre-postage paid right now, and that is huge for our voters, especially given the wildfire pandemic conditions.
Mm-hmm. All right. And when will drop boxes be out for people to get their ballots back in, too?
So we advertise in the voters' pamphlet. They'll be open on the 19th of October, which mm-hmm. is Monday. We drop our ballots at the Postal Service on Friday, October 16th. So the earliest people will get those ballots is that Saturday, the 17th. But keeping in mind, we do a soft opening. No matter what, our ballot boxes will be open the day that ballots are mailed on the 16th of October. Mm-hmm. But we advertise them open on the 19th just to mitigate. So, but we want, if we have early voters, we want to make sure that those boxes are open for them to use. So for all intents and purposes, the day ballots are mailed, our boxes will be open.
Okay, OregonVotes.gov, and click on My Vote if you need to make these adjustments we've been talking about with Chris Walker, who is the Jackson County Clerk. Chris, you're on top of it. Thanks for joining us with the information about what people should do if they have been dislocated because of their home burning down.
Absolutely. And Jeffrey, one thing I encourage people to do, if you have any questions, call us 541-774-6148 or email us at elections@JacksonCountyAllSpeltOut.org. The best line and the best way you can serve your community and yourself in the voting process is just communicate with us. We are here. We're ready. We're waiting for your calls and your emails, and then we can get you the information that you need to be able to access and cast your ballot. I also want to just say a little note that I truly believe in my heart this is going to make us a better community of people. We're going to pull together. We're going to get through this. We're going to be stronger as human beings, and we're going to be more compassionate and have more empathy toward each other with everything that's happened. So let's get this done.
Yeah. We'll be a better place as you're thinking. Okay, so let me get those numbers again. 774-6148 to phone the Jackson County Clerk's Elections Division.
Yes.
And then elections@jacksoncounty.org.
You got it.
Okay.
And, of course, then we have information that's posted on our elections homepage on the Jackson County website now. It's just information for persons displaced, voters displaced by wildfire. Now watch here, sometime toward the end of the week, we will come out on social media, PSAs. We are considering all of our media, all of our media partners as valued business partners in getting this information out. So we appreciate your assisting us as well.
Glad to do it. Glad to find out for ourselves what's going on, too. So Chris Walker is the Jackson County Clerk. Thank you again for helping us out with understanding what's going on with elections in a time when people are out of their usual residences.
Yep.
Okay.
And thank you. Blessings to everyone out there.
All right.
Stay safe.
Take care.